In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. If you read any of the four Gospels, you'll actually find a common characteristic, and is this one. I mean, there are many others, but this one in particular, relating to today's Gospel passage. How God is very focused and very attentive to a single person's concern, even to the point of forgetting everything and everyone else around him. If there's somebody in need, the Lord stops, and that person in need has the God-man's total undivided attention. In contrast, we could say about human beings, we tend to get caught up into the macro picture, and we'll talk about humanity as a whole or in great numbers, and that's oftentimes when it catches our attention. One person may die, okay, but when it's 100 people, 200 people, then all of a sudden we care about it. One person may be suffering, we go by, but then all of a sudden, if it's like 10, 20, 30, 100 people suffering from the same thing, all of a sudden it grabs our attention. And oftentimes, we get caught up in the macro and we lose sight of the individual. We solve problems, but we forget about the human being. But with God, it's different. No individual person's suffering, no individual person's pain, no individual person's need goes unnoticed. In fact, God gives to this person his complete and undivided attention. And more than that, God comes into that person's plight, into that person's trial, into that person's suffering. And what does God do? He always brings hope into a situation that appears hopeless. And that describes today's gospel passage. In this plight of this demoniac man, this man is possessed by a devil, or what we learn, devils. And Jesus, the Savior, stops and gives that particular man his complete and undivided attention. Would that the baptized faithful, you and me, had that same undivided attentiveness toward each and every single person you and I meet all day long. How then the world would be a much different and better place. A priest once came to a holy bishop, and this priest expressed the plight in his own marriage. The priest recounted to the bishop how his pastoral duties were leaving him little time and energy for his wife and his children. It had gotten to the point where the wife was feeling miserable in the marriage and very neglected, and the children were feeling abandoned. The holy bishop instructed the priest to reduce by half his pastoral ministry. The priest responded, "Sa'idna, what about my duties to God and the faithful?" The bishop told the priest, "Your first congregation is your wife and your children. They should receive half of your time." And after a few months had passed since the priest was given that advice, the priest's wife came to the bishop. And she said, Sidna, I can't understand it. My husband dropped half of his pastoral responsibilities and half of his pastoral work, and he gave that time now to me and his children. And yet, his pastoral work has seemed to be totally transformed. Instead of parishioners demanding more and more of his time for visits and counsel, they're now coming to our home. They're coming to our house. And they tell me why. Because they see in our home the witness of the gospel lived. They see a family dedicated in selfless love toward each other and toward God. And they leave our home in peace, and they're trying to live the same way we are in our home. Undivided attention, being focused not on the macro, but here is a priest distracted, giving too much to the bigger picture, and he forgot the people right in front of him. Such is one lesson that our Lord teaches us in today's gospel passage. Now let's look at the demoniac for a few moments. In essence, a possessed man was someone who had lost complete control of his very being. So someone's possessed is quite dehumanizing. One has lost integration. One, in a way, has lost his or her humanity. Such is the description of this man. He's living in the tombs. Can't even live in society. He's naked. He has his abnormal strength. He's not a healthy human being. He's a disfigured human being. And that's what's really being depicted to us today in a man who's possessed. And the Holy Scriptures and our Holy Fathers of the Church teach us that the devil can and does possess people, which is described rather vividly to us in today's gospel passage. There is, however, another kind of possession, and it's the more common and frequent possession. It's the person who cannot control his or her passions. Passion for food, passion for drink, the passion for entertainment and material goods. It's the person who finds himself or herself incapable of refraining from anger, unable to forgive someone, person who gives into acts of jealousy or gossip. It's the passion for gossip and anxiety, joylessness and cowardice. It's the person who has the passion to spend more time on work and things devoted to self rather than to God, to family, and to friends. As the expression goes, one lives to work rather than working to live a more holistic life. Every single person has their uncontrolled passions. And those uncontrolled passions in our lives prevent us from living a fully human life. They prevent us from living, being fully ourselves and who we are. Fully alive, we should say. Yes, our disordered passions keep us from truly living a human, integrated life. Being fully alive. And that's a revelation to us of the little demons in our own lives. And taking a lesson from today's gospel passage, the demoniac despite his wretched condition, does what? When he sees the God-man, he moves toward him. The possessed man was still able to recognize that Jesus the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the one who gives peace, is the one who can restore order, give harmony, the one who can reestablish wholeness. Thus, before the very feet of the God-man, both the man and, note, the devils fell down and worshipped. Yes, even the fallen angels, let's not forget, are subject to the very power of God, the one to whom all the universe must bow before. All things visible and invisible must fall down and worship before the Pantocrator, the universal Lord. That is why in every Eastern church you'll find the Pantocrator, Christ, over, looking over us as the Lord of all creation. And the church, as the ceiling comes down and touches the walls, what you have are the ceilings like a dome in an Eastern church. And it's the heavens coming down and the church moving up, and in between both is the Pantocrator, the ruler, the Lord of all over all. And fearing God, one demon cried out, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? Do not torment me." And the Savior, the Word of God, demanded an answer. "What is your name?" And the devil has to respond to God's word. And so he says, "Legion," meaning it's a whole host of demons. The Lord liberates the man by sending the devils into a herd of swine. And that herd, those devils then drive those pigs over a cliff unto perdition. What happens next in the account is always, I've always struck me as rather extraordinary and strange. The swine herders, they run into the town, they tell everybody what's happened. They go into the district, they tell everybody what's happened. So all the people come out and see what's going on. These men, their livelihood was just gone off the cliff. That was their money. And these people all come out and they see the very man they know has been possessed. A man who's experienced tremendous disintegration in his life. And they find him now sitting peacefully at the feet of the Lord. They find him clothed. In other words, his dignity has been restored to him. And he's in his right mind. This man's been made whole again. This man's been given his dignity back. He's reintegrated. He can now live life again. On the other hand, the villagers look at the dead swine over the cliff. And what captures their attention is, wait a minute. That's our livelihood that just went over the cliff. Who cares about that man whose dignity has been restored to him? And they make the dreadful decision. Jesus the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, leave our land. We prefer the status quo. Don't uproot our lives. We're happy as it is. What is St. Luke teaching us? And in fact, this gospel passage, This gospel account appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which tells us it's a passage of great significance for the church. What are these gospel writers trying to teach us by including this event? Salvation, which means to be made whole, to be healed, salus, comes at a price. It will impact your livelihood. It will demand sacrifices. That's the great lesson and the great warning of today's gospel passage. What are you holding on to in your life? Because we all have our demons. We all have our uncontrolled passions. What are you holding on to in your life that prevents you from being made whole, from experiencing the healing of the divine physician? What are you holding on to in your life that prevents you from knowing and experiencing the one who brings eternal and lasting peace? Christ is among us.